Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. We've got a great show for you tonight. I mean a really good show. The ADHD Lizard Brain, preying upon by all. And with us in our virtual studio is the Alan Brown. We've had Alan on the show very time. He's always very, very insightful, got a lot of great stuff. And what I was thinking about putting the show together and who I would want to do this with, there was only one. And only he could do this. And I'm thankful that he came on and agreed to do the show and to do it for ADHD Awareness Month, which we're in the middle of. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, October the 18th in the year 2017, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some quick announcements. The 2017 Annual International Conference on ADHD is really, really getting close. You need to be booking your tickets, hotel reservations, and signing up for that conference. I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We've got some great content on Attention Talk Radio, but there's nothing, and I mean nothing, like hobnobbing with your tribe at a conference. You get to hear the content, but you get to talk to the speakers. You get to mingle with everybody between the sessions. And I tell you, one year I saw Dr. Barkley for 90 minutes answer questions after one of his presentations. And I know I've seen Alan Brown hobnobbing with a whole bunch of other people that had ADD and had some questions. And anyway, there's nothing like it. So to learn more about the conference, go to chadd.org. This year's conference is kind of unique because Chad has been doing this for a while, but they're actually joining forces this year with the Attention Deficit Disorder Association. Actually, tonight's show is being brought to you by Chad. We've got a little tip that we want to roll for you, so we'll do that. And when we come back, we'll get the show started. So here we go.
Are you struggling with managing ADHD, your own or your child's? Connect and recharge at the annual International Conference on ADHD with Chad and Ada. For more information, go to helpforadhd.org. That's H-E-L-P, the number 4, ADHD.org.
Thanks again, Chad, for all your continued support. They are the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. And if you're not a member, you should be a member just to support them to speak on your behalf. So, okay, let's get into tonight's show. Real quickly, really the genesis of this show started with an interview that I did with Dr. Clifford Sussman on ADHD and screen addiction. We did a three-part series, and the middle show was the hard part. And in that show, the first show we had talked about biology and dopamine and some different things. But the second show, he talked about Candy Crush, which is a game that it's an app that you can get on your phone and on the internet. And we went through the different aspects of that game that made it really easy for somebody to get involved with. And we started talking about the little things that get you these little dopamine hits, which is the reward neurotransmitter. And as that game is designed, it's an easy game to learn, hard game to be good at. You get different rewards at different times, sometimes like lottery, like type where it cascades, you get all kinds of stuff. And he himself, Dr. Sussman, when he was preparing for the show, had played this game a little bit, and without ADHD, he had difficulty putting it down. And in that interview, we started talking about how the human brain has not evolved. The brain actually kind of preys on itself. And in marketing, they talk a lot about the lizard brain, and marketers and advertisers really appeal to that. What sells is, you know, pain and pleasure. And tonight's show is really kind of designed to talk about marketing the advertising world and how the ADHD brain is really, really a more difficult situation to deal with that. So what we did is we're bringing Alan Brown in from the ADD Crusher, and he himself, before he was diagnosed as an adult, and he's a self-confessed mitigated mess who struggled with booze and drugs, massive underachievement. He was irresponsible space cadet, a real dopamine junkie, if you will. I've talked to him personally. I know one of his real thrills is to jump on a motorcycle, do like 180 around the track a couple times, and had some very serious accidents, and still gets up and does it again. So you can understand that he knows what he's talking about. He's a former advertising executive, and really his transformation of his struggles into advertising, and then founded the ADD Crusher series in that organization, has really kind of embraced the ADHD community to help benefit. It really makes him kind of unique. You can learn more about Alan at his website, addcrusher.com. He also puts on ADD, the Crusher TV program. And Alan, I'm going to ask you to come and make sure I get these websites correct. But with that, real quickly, welcome to the show.
Great to be back with you, Jeff. Wonderful to be here.
And it is addcrusher.com and crushertv.com, correct?
Yeah, ADD Crusher we created about 5 years ago, where we have videos that are kind of a virtual coach that help ADHD adults and teens. And then a little more than 2 years ago, we created Crusher TV, which is an online TV program where we teach productivity brain hacks. And I have guest experts on, and Jeff Copper's been a guest twice, and will probably be a guest about five more times because we've already got lots of stuff to talk about, don't we?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, one of the things that I know you do, some of the things that you've been doing over a period of time is to help those with ADHD kind of like snap out of it a little bit. They kind of like sit there and they get kind of stuck in the moment, and help them be aware of their brain to kind of stop and pause and override. One of your videos, I've mentioned it a gazillion times before, where you're watching this video and you're talking about trying to help somebody and they're caught up in it, and you actually kind of fake pause the thing and say, Lily, get up. This is the time where you need to activate, go get a pen and kind of sit down and do this. And it was brilliant when I saw it, because those with ADHD, they're kind of sitting there, they're mesmerized, and they don't actually think like, wait a second, what's really going on here? This is the prompt where I'm supposed to do some stuff. And in that fashion, to me, that's a self-regulation issue. The ability to pause and kind of override and notice what's going on and get into action in that point in time. Coaching is very much about helping people pause and override and engage their executive functioning to think about what's going on. And in advertising, the advertisers and marketers are actually kind of praying to those with ADHD, trying to kind of control what's going on. And it requires them to kind of pause and stop and think about what's going on. That's a lot that's kind of there, but can you just share your perspective really quickly on self-regulation and the awareness and the need to actually stop and watch what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, when you reached out and wanted to talk about the lizard brain and how it is preyed upon by all, I was like, oh, please sign me up. And, you know, when we talk about the lizard brain, what we're really talking about here is the amygdala, which is the most primitive, evolutionarily primitive part of our brain. It's the thing that, you know, is responsible for kind of the fight or flight, or the, you know, the hunger urges, those primitive urges that are still there, even though we've evolved. But that's down at the base of the brain. But we also have, when you talk about the most evolved part of the brain, which is the frontal lobe, this is where we ADDers are kind of lacking. This is where executive function takes place, right? This is higher thinking, planning, and pausing, you know, being aware. So the more that we are kind of on that autopilot that you were describing, Jeff, which is what I was trying to get people in one of the ADD Crusher videos to snap out of, is that autopilot.
Yep.
We are more likely to be run by our lizard brain. And the implication of that, which is what I'm really looking forward to getting into, is that we are, you know, can be preyed upon by, you know, political pitches, commercials, social media, and a whole bunch of stuff that can not only waste our time, but make us do kind of not so smart things.
You know, let's frame this out for a second. You have the automatic brain where you're just kind of going, right? And then you have that primitive brain that's kind of going like more addictive type thing. You're doing things kind of for dopamine. And you yourself struggled at one point in time with drugs and alcohol. And I know that we've actually had a story before where you actually had to pause one time because you were like running a crack deal or something one time, and your grandmother was sick or something like that. And to me, that's the ultimate. You had to actually somehow grab yourself and stop and pause and kind of override, because that had some difficult circumstances. So one is just the automatic brain. You're just sitting there not engaged. But the other one is this other side, and you've had some experience to kind of snap yourself out of it. You want to speak to that just for a second? Because I think that gives you a lot of credibility on this topic. And I really want to highlight that, because it's I don't think it's an easy thing to do. And you did it.
Well, you know, you said, and I don't know if you were quoting someone else, but you said something that recently that really rang a bell for me. ADHD is, because it's a dopamine shortage, it's a dopamine addiction. Like, we're addicted to dopamine,
yep,
because we don't have enough of it. And so there are a lot of parallels between being an addict, a drug addict, which I was at the time. And the instance you're referring to was back, I was living in Jersey City, New Jersey, and I was visiting my mother, and she was in her last months battling ovarian cancer. And I would visit her at the hospital in Manhattan. She was at Mount Sinai, and I wouldn't stay very long, because within about 5 minutes of getting there, and I'd hold her hand for a little while, and I'd get edgy, and I'd say, "Mom, I'm sorry, I can't stay. I got to go. I need to be somewhere." And she,
yep,
you know, balding from the chemo and tubes up her nose and weighing about 85 pounds, she'd say, "It's okay, do what you need to do." And what I needed to do was I needed to get up to Harlem to get my drugs. And it was a horrible way to be sort of driven by one's lizard brain. I did not have any executive function going on. I wasn't able to sit there and look at this and pause and go, how ridiculous is this? It wasn't until one of those times that I, you know, did this horrible thing by not spending time with my mother, that I got home and realized the absurdity of what had been happening. I finally, that pause was, I guess, forced upon me. And we're going to talk a little bit later about ways to kind of create, to cause that pause. But I'm glad you brought it up, because this kind of this addiction, this real addiction, to drugs or alcohol or to certain behaviors, is very much something that we adherents are more susceptible to than the average population. But also, it does have this kind of analogy to this dopamine addiction that we are constantly feeding with things like video games,
yep,
online shopping, and other things.
Yep. And so just because you have such a personal story here, I mean, I got to believe, Alan, before you had the realization, I mean, rationally, you would tell you, I mean, you knew what you were doing. People told you that it was going to create problems in your life. I mean, I got to believe that you acknowledged that, but still, you would just ignore it and keep going, at least for a period of time, where one day you realize, what the heck am I doing? So you were conscious of it, but were you really getting it until all of a sudden you got it?
Yeah, no, you're right. You at a certain level, even an addict knows that something is wrong. And look, I mean, not to trivialize being a stone cold drug addict by comparing it to this, but you know, even an ADDer who is, you know, perpetually spending too much time in social media, such that to the detriment of their job or something like that, we know something is wrong. We know this is not right, but we keep following our lizard brain because it feels good. We're getting those dopamine hits. And, you know, it's only until, for instance, an intervention with a coach, as you mentioned, Jeff, or some other thing that makes you go, hold on, I can't keep doing this. This is not what I want my life to be about. And that's ultimately what happened. It was a critical mass. It reached a critical mass where I just came to that full realization and made a decision that I'm going to take back control of my brain on that particular day. I did.
And the reason, Alan, you were on this show is even better than I thought, because we're talking about like a cocaine addiction, that type of stuff, which is massive amounts of dopamine. It's just a release. And by the way, an orgasm is a release of dopamine. Our brain seeking dopamine is a survival and a procreation thing. But I want to go to break in a second when I come back, because when you're on social media and you get poked, or somebody shares your thing, or you get a like, those are itty bitty bitty bounce of dopamine. I mean, they're little, but when you get them a lot on a frequent basis, it begins to have this cumulative effect, which we're going back, we're emphasizing that these little things, these social media people and these game people, they know how to build these things so that you kind of can't help yourself. And so while you had these massive dopamine addictions, in a sense, what we're talking about today is the marketers, the politicians in corporate America have figured out, and they're giving you these, they're spoon feeding these little things so that they can take control of your amygdala and you're not in control of what's going on. So I want to delve into that a little bit deeper because that gets to the heart of this. Because the only way, in my what I've learned, is to either avoid it so you're not tempted, or you've got to be able to catch yourself in it. And I know you've got some brain hacks and I've got some attention exercises down the road that we want to talk about before the show is over with to kind of help people share how to do that. But I want to go to a break real quick. When we come back, I want to get into that. Everyone, if you're not enamored already, you will be with Alan Brown. And for that reason, you need to go check him out. His website is addcrusher.com. And you need to check out his TV show. He does a great job interviewing experts. It's really, really appealing. I mean, he gives really good information in a variety of format, and that's at crushertv.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com. The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We've got Alan Brown with us, and we're having a spectacular conversation about the lizard brain. In particular, the ADD brain being the lizard brain of all lizard brain that's preyed on by the media's politicians, corporate America. And I really wanted to do this show during ADHD Awareness Month to make you aware that because of self-regulation challenges, those with ADHD are more susceptible to what's going on. And what our hope is to define this space a little bit, bring some awareness, and then Alan and I are both going to talk about some hacks and some things to do to kind of help you. Before the break, really trying to build on this thing that the human brain, it craves dopamine. It's a reward neurotransmitter, and it's that thing that helps motivate us to procreate, to seek food. So it's very, very good, but as we've evolved, corporate America has kind of cracked the code on this, and things that give you dopamine are obvious, like cocaine, nicotine, alcohol, shopping, pornography, but chocolate, chocoholics, there's some dopamine rush in there. Music, sex, drugs, and rock and roll, those are all dopamine things. Acts of daring, thrills, challenging, all that elicits it too. So now we've set the stage that we've got this lizard brain with ADHD that's dopamine seeking, and those with ADHD are more addicted to it. So they're more drawn to some of that stuff. Now we get into the world, and we were talking a little bit about social media before, and we might as well kind of jump into this. You know, Alan, when I'm looking at social media as it's evolved, and you and I book, and now with Snapchat and Twitter and stuff like that, the poke, the share, the tweet, as time has gone on, the graphics and the video and the emotion has gotten bigger, and people have gotten sucked in to the point in time where I think, as you described, I mean, it's becoming life impairing because everybody's getting these little dopamine hits, and you get on the stuff and it becomes a problem. Tell us from your perspective, speak to that for a second.
Well, I think the social media world is one that is fraught with pitfalls for us ADDers in particular. And, you know, think about for just for openers, how, 5-10 years ago, you know, there wasn't that much political content in social media. Now, Facebook, for instance, not to mention Twitter, is a place where people are going to get their political news. And but more importantly, and so with the, what I wanted to say there was that with the injection, the migration of politics into social media, you get the emotions because politics is very emotional for us now, particularly now. But the key thing here with regard to social media that we need to know as ADDers and just as generally as users of social media is that the way Facebook is designed, the way that interface, when you scroll with your thumb on your device or you scroll on your tablet, your iPad, it is designed to keep you scrolling, to look for the next eye-opening interview with a gentleman who used to work at Google and Facebook. He was an engineer whose job it was to design these interfaces. And he was quoted as saying, I can't remember his name, he was quoted as saying, when you are using your phone to look at Facebook and scroll through there, you need to know that there are thousands of people whose job it is to keep you scrolling and scroll one more time. And this goes back to those dopamine hits. These guys and gals, they know that every time you scroll again, you are looking for another dopamine hit. That's why it's so difficult to put down. Let me just scroll one more time before I shut this off or before I get back to my emails or before I get back to the dishes or before I get back to my job or whatever. Let me just scroll one more time and see if I can, you know, hit the jackpot and get something really a bigger dopamine hit. So it's extraordinarily well designed. And the more we can be aware of this design that is preying on our lizard brain, the better we can fight it.
That's perfect what you said. There are thousands of people whose job it is to keep you scrolling. They've cracked the code. They've figured this out. They know because of analytics. It's very measurable for them for a period of time. They throw some stuff out there, and if people click on it, they do like A/B testing a lot of times. I know on YouTube, I run some ads. They throw four or five out, and over a period of time, an algorithm will tell you which one is the more popular and will stop serving the other ones. Then you take the best, and then you experiment with that to get the better. Just by the numbers, they're learning to dial in, and they're talking to your amygdala. I mean, they're intimate with your amygdala, and as I like to describe here, you're no longer in control of what you're doing. Again, there's thousands of people whose jobs it is to keep you scrolling. That speaks volumes, Alan. I mean volumes.
Yeah. Just like the people who designed Candy Crush. It was their job not to create a game like, let's say, I don't know, Clue or Gin Rummy or poker, where there is a beginning and an end. There is no end to this game, and they want you to keep doing it and get further and further engaged. And, you know, I mentioned politics, and again, we don't want to get political, but and we'll steer clear of doing that. But think about also some of the fake news stories that pop up, and even quote-unquote legitimate sort of BuzzFeedy news. Note the headlines and note the image that go with these headlines. I'll give you a couple silly examples, like the so-and-so star of Happy Days, you know, what she looks like today is jaw-dropping. And then they show some just portion of that actor that is intriguing enough for you to want to go and click on that. It's called clickbait. But you get a dopamine hit from reading a little headline that like that. So and when it's political, now you've got the additional emotional charge and a personal stake potentially in whichever side of the spectrum you're on. So these are all things that are designed to suck us in. And again, because we ADDers are dopamine addicts, as you so correctly put it, Jeff, we are more vulnerable to these kinds of things, particularly in social media and online generally, than the general population.
And here's where we are with this, because we're teeing this thing up, and that's why I think you're the ideal guest, is that we were talking before the break about you and drug addiction. You know, issues and the bill. I mean, you weren't supposed to be doing it. You knew that it wasn't good for you, but you still did it. And you, fortunately, stumbled into a life experience where you stopped and said, wait a second, what the hell am I doing here? It kind of like snapped you out of it a little bit. Now, this social media, these thousands of people whose job it is to keep you scrolling, and these people who have figured out exactly what clickbait they need to get you to kind of click on it, this is a cumulative effect over a period of time. And to me, we're not dealing with much a different scenario than it was when you're dealing with the heavy drugs, because the volume of these, of all constant every day over a longer period of time, and we know we shouldn't be on social media, we shouldn't be doing some stuff, but you go, anywhere you go, you look and everybody's, if there's a boring moment or whatever, everybody goes right to their phone. I was actually coaching a guy for a period of time who was working in Manhattan and almost got hit by a car because he was playing some silly game on his phone and couldn't stop walking in the middle of the traffic. This is how powerful this is. I mean, these people really have control of what's going on. And I got to believe, Alan, it was difficult for you to stop back then. And you can kind of identify that these people right now, it's not an easy thing to do, is it?
No, it's not. And there's a lot of research into drug addiction recovery. And one of the things that they find is that when you give a recovering addict a purpose, whether it's a job or some meaningful service to others, they are 70% more likely to successfully recover than if you just say, okay, we've got you over the withdrawal symptoms, and now we're just going to send you back out into the world. So I want to relate that back to the social media to say that what you need to do with regard to social media, there are two things you really need to do. And these are hacks, if you will. And I know we want to get into some hacks. One is, look, social media is not inherently bad or evil. It's social. You know, you keep in touch with your friends. And I posted a picture on Facebook last night of me doing – I was actually watering a lawn. I'm a city guy. I have never watered a lawn in my life. But I bought a house. And so I said, somebody take a picture of me. I'm watering a lawn, and I don't even know how to do it. So I posted that. But the thing is that you need to make appointments to do your social media. Schedule a time. Say, hey, look, I'm going to work this morning until 11:45 or whatever that is. And then at 11:45, I'm going to give myself the gift of 15 minutes of social media. So this way you are sort of, you know, you're corralling it. You're giving that look. You can't do that with drugs. You can't say, hey, I'm only going to do cocaine on Wednesdays and Fridays.
Yep.
But
yep.
with social media, you can try to do that. And the other thing, the other kind of hack on this is to not sign up. I call it don't sign up for stuff. So for instance, don't sign up for new emails, or if there's something that you get for free by signing up for an email, great, get the free thing and then unsubscribe from the emails. In the same way, the more you comment on other people's stuff, the more you're signing up for alerts and reminders and, oh, so-and-so responded to your da-da-da. So two things, make appointments for your social media. All right. Even if you don't 110% stick with it, just try it. Try to work that into your life so that you're not just kind of reflexively using that lizard brain to just pick up your phone. And, hey, let me just check my social media again randomly. And then don't sign up for stuff. Just hold back. It's one thing if you want to click to like something, but the more stuff you comment on and share, the more alerts you're going to get, et cetera. So there's, in a nutshell, the things, the kind of the hack type things about social media. I'll throw in one more thing, and that is, when you do start on your social media, ask yourself, what is my purpose? What is my purpose for doing this? Am I doing this for my business? Am I doing this just to relax for a few minutes? Make sure when you get on social media that you have a purpose for doing it.
Make appointments. Don't sign up for stuff. And have a purpose.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
I want to hold those three thoughts. I want to talk about something real quick. Come back to the break. I want to emphasize those things and talk about some other hacks and some other tension exercises. But I want this is a Jeff Copperism. So when you go out there and you go talk to a whole bunch of people, don't necessarily think that I'm right on this. However, there is some science to this. But this is a simplified filter that I like to describe to people. Because if you're going to start to apply these hacks and you've been doing this thing for a long time,
Again, the brain is infinitely simplified, but understand this, is that when you're out there and you're getting a level of dopamine, your brain is so stimulated, it can't handle a lot of dopamine for forever. So what happens is the release of dopamine is kind of what you're craving. What happens is dopamine sprayed in the synaptic gap, and then it's kind of sucked back in. And what happens is the receptors start to become numb, and they become less and less and less. And what happens is you need more dopamine released to have the same feeling, because you have less of them sucking back in on the other side. And what you do is when you go to detox, or you say, listen, I'm not going to go to social media, you're no longer getting the dopamine. And your brain likes that feeling. It feels good. And when it's not getting that dopamine, the receptors, it's getting a little bit of dopamine, but the receptors are kind of numb. And I like to describe it as this. I've talked about this when those with ADHD are experience what we call agitated boredom, which is defined by the physical discomfort where one is motivated to escape the plight. In other words, you're so physically uncomfortable, you're going to do anything to get comfortable. And when I'm talking to people with ADHD, and I explain this boredom thing and how those with ADHD or pacing the cage, I said, have you ever really been cold? I mean, think about it, Alan. If you went to like Rachel and said, Rachel, have you ever really, really been absolutely freezing where the wind's blowing? Have you ever been tempted to break into an office building or do something that you shouldn't do just to get warm again? And most people that I've talked to will say, yeah, I realize. I said, that's the physical discomfort. Well, you'll do anything to get comfortable again. And when you're getting these dopamine hits and you remove that stuff, as I like to describe, you're physically uncomfortable and you'll do anything. Your brain will do anything to get comfortable. And if you just stop cold turkey, this is how you're going to know that you're actually having a problem, because you're agitated. You're really – and you'll find yourself doing some different things. And so – This happens is what goes through in detox, but something as simple as social media, if you just try to put it down, you find yourself that you can't go doing that, and you physically can feel uncomfortable in your body. That's a good sign that you need to look out for this. So again, I just wanted to lay that out there, because I think one of the keys is to be able to maybe detox yourself and know it's going to be an uncomfortable, and then come back in, because we can't do away with digital everything. Advertising, social media, it's here to stay. So I want to go to break. When we come back, I want to spend a little bit more talking about some hacks that Alan's already talked about and some things to add. Again, you got to be a fan by now of Alan Brown. If not, you really will be after the next break. So you got to go to his website at addcrusher.com or check out crushertv.com, and we'll be right back after these messages.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back. We're here with the Alan Brown having a spectacular conversation on ADHD Awareness Month. And what we're trying to simplify here is to make you aware of the fact that your primitive brain is out there, and the politicians, the marketers in corporate America, and the media have cracked the code. There's thousands of that are – their job is to keep you scrolling, to figure out clickbait, and to get your emotions awry so that you'll do what they want you to do. And, you know, Alan, I only know two ways around this. One is – and you alluded to it. Don't sign up. Don't go. Abstain. Don't even go near it so that you're not even tempted. But then the only other one is when you're in it, you got to pull yourself away from it. Both of those are not the easiest thing to do, because –
your urge. You want to feel good, as I had described for the break. You kind of feel comfortable. But to my knowledge, that's only two ways to do it, is not tempt yourself or to be able to stop and downregulate it when you're in it. Are you aware of anything, or is that pretty much the two fundamental strategies?
Well, I have to say, Jeff, before the break, the way you described that feeling of, you know, not having something that you're accustomed to getting dopamine hits from, and how you will do anything to kind of feel that feeling again. First of all, you just perfectly described the classic feeling of, you know, being a drug addict and saying, I will do anything. I will leave my dying mother's bedside to go get this stuff. I will steal from my family to go and get this stuff. And in very much the same way, we can listen to our bodies with regard to these other kind of more, we'll call them innocuous, even though they're not harmless, but more innocuous addictions. I work with several private clients who have addiction issues in addition to their attention or their business or executive function issues, where we are trying to get them to understand their level of addiction and try to get beyond it through some of the things we talked about before, but also, and this is why I'm so glad you articulated this, what you did before the break, by stopping and putting your device down and just being without it for an hour. So if you are accustomed, for instance, to picking up your device and doing your social media for, let's just say, an hour in the evening because it's relaxing for you or whatever, and because you need to check your emails or da-da-da-da-da, if you were to just put this thing down and be without it for an hour and just listen to what happens in your body and make maybe even write notes about, wow, I just had this feeling. I really want to go grab this thing. And try to articulate, try to coach yourself in a way about what is happening here. Why is it that I really want to go and grab the thing? I mean, that is your lizard brain saying, hey, give me more of that stuff. Why did you put that thing down? And it is a great way to discover your level of discomfort when you're not doing it, and therefore your level of quote-unquote addiction to your device or to social media or to the politics in your social media feed or whatever it is.
You know, Alan, I'm a big you like to talk in terms of brain hacks, and I talk in terms of attention exercises. And there's a lot of crossover of those two. But what you just described, I think, is spectacular. Where you put it down and you listen to your body and actually write it down. It's an attention exercise for you to begin to listen to what's going on. And I would venture to say, is that some of the people out there that are on social media a couple hours a day, putting the device down for an hour, you might find impossible. You might have to start with 30 minutes, and you might be surprised how difficult that is for you. I mean, difficult, and to the point where you might have some difficulty. And I'm doing this because I want to prepare you for this. Is I think that you might find it's an eye-opening experience, because if you're on it a lot, I think you'll find you'll be physically uncomfortable, and you're going to be pacing the cage, and it's going to take a lot to abstain from it.
And think about what a gift that is to yourself. If you can just have that little bit of discovery to go, hey, wow, this is kind of weird. I feel a little bit off by not having my phone. You know, another thing that we all do is we're waiting in line, say at Starbucks, and we're a little bit bored, just the slightest bit bored. So what do? We pull our phone out and we flip it on and we just look at, well, did I get any new emails up? Did I get any updates up? Did anybody click to like my new profile picture, et cetera? And what I like to tell folks is, hey, next time you reach without thinking about it for your phone, when you really don't have a purpose for doing so, see if you can just say, hey, you know what? I don't actually need to do this. And I'm actually going to just see if I can just be. And it's a little bit Buddhist, this notion, but put the thing back away and just allow yourself to be. Think about whatever it is you're going to think about, but just be. And what you'll find is, if you do this regularly, you're going to find that you actually start to come up with solutions to many of the problems that you've been grappling with. Oh, you know what? I just remembered. I should go do so and so. And you know what?
Yep.
I've been trouble figuring out a way to write that email, that opening paragraph, that tough email to the client. What if I were to say so and so? This is what happens when you quiet your mind. But every time you reach for that device and you get on social media, your mind is occupied by the stuff that you're seeing. And of course, as we were talking about, you're getting sucked more and more into it, and it will have you keep seeking more and more dopamine. But when you get that stuff out of your mind, because now you can't think of new stuff when you're sitting there looking at that. It's like when you're watching a TV show or a movie. You are taken into that TV show or movie. So you can't sit there and brainstorm new ideas. But when you quiet your mind and turn off your screens, even for 2 minutes or 5 minutes, you open the window to creative problem solving.
Yep.
This is why we so often have great ideas when we're in the shower, because you're not looking at your device.
Yep, absolutely, absolutely. So, Alan, I got some things that I'd like to see what you think. I've worked with some people that I've talked to before. Is while you're going through this stuff, if you make an appointment and whatever, because if you're scheduling some time that you're going to be on social media or anything. By the way, we are talking about we're talking a lot about social media, but we're talking about how social media and advertisers and politicians are trying to get you to look at that stuff to sell your stuff. That's the general. That's what we're really talking about, even though we're working about social media, is actually to begin to get on social media and go, I can see Fred. What's Fred trying to do to get me to scroll to the next line? Or, there's an ad right there. I wonder what about it is they think that compel me to click on it. It's almost like you're thinking about the monkey behind the other side and kind of laughing at them, trying like they cracked the code on me. I'm trying to crack the code. I'm like, oh, they're so stupid. They really think that I'm going to click on that as a means to become conscious of that. And I don't want to get too political, but I haven't studied this a lot, but from what I understand from a distance, and I'm not a real political guy, is Donald Trump was one of the first people. He learned it from Obama, but he did an end around with Twitter on the media to get the message out, and 130 characters or whatever. There's not a lot you can say. And to me, I always listen and watch what he's saying. And it's name calling and bullying because that appeals. And the apprentice, you're fired. And the Food Network movie Chopped. Those aren't about food, and it's not about hiring. It's about the emotion of firing somebody or saying you're not worthy. That's really kind of what that's appealing to. And if you begin to listen to these things and watch them, I think it's kind of fun. Like, really, you think that you got me figured out? Well, I've got you figured out kind of in return. Or even as I describe is when you go out there and you're looking at commercials on TV, you look up there and like most – I've actually had people I've coached who didn't realize those are actually actors. They think they're real people. I'm like, no, they're hired. They're in a union. This is scripted. And actually to begin to stop and think about that, these are attention exercises I do. Some of them I think you would call as a brain hack to say, listen, do they really think that I think that they're real people? Those are hired guns. I mean, this is all scripted as a means to override some of these things and to be conscious of it. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm drawing this parallel to really another Buddhist kind of Zen practice, which is you're talking about taking a step back from something that you see online or an ad you see on TV and questioning it and saying, what is it they're trying to get me to do? Oh, I see. So they got the picture with just enough of, her bare breast or whatever, just enough of – this horrible picture of this and this crazy headline. It's interesting. They're trying to get me to do this because so what you've done is you've stepped away to be the witness. And this is what we do in Zen practice, which is we step aside and we listen to our thoughts and we become the witness to our thoughts, which is, oh, look at me. I'm sitting here worried about that thing, or I'm sitting here worried about if I'm going to say something stupid on Jeff's show, or I'm sitting here worried about how I look today. And when we can step aside and be the witness to our thoughts, we get tremendous power, especially as ADDers, where our thoughts are just jamming like a turbocharged engine going and going. We can step outside of that and go, hey, look at my crazy brain doing all this stuff. Let's be a little bit more objective. And in the same way, if we can step aside from the social media, and for instance, as you kind of suggest, let's look at how they are trying to get me to scroll. And when you can look at it more objectively, now you're not the monkey mind. Now you're not the lizard brain. Now you're actually a thinking, now you are empowered. because you know the game. And you're like, you know what?
Yep.
I can see what they're doing. You know what? I'm not going to do that. I've got better things to do in my life than sit here and get sucked into this ad or buy that ab cruncher thing or whatever that is. I think what you just said is an incredibly powerful attention exercise.
But what's funny is listening to you, it's funny because for the more analytical people with ADD, it's funny because it's like, ah, ha, ha, I'm beating you at your own game. But I'm watching you prey on my brain, but I'm kind of preying back and I'm not going to – it's this weird kind of concocted when you become conscious of yourself in the third party or watching your thoughts or whatever, that you become a rule and you're like, hey, I'm gonna pull a double fast one and sting you back. And it's a funny little game when you think about it. It's actually kind of fun when you go out there because you're now more purposefully watching for it from a different angle. Nothing's changed. You're still going through it. But instead of like you being the automatic brain being lured by that clickbait, you're like, ha, ha, ha. You really think, oh, come on. I've seen that one 1,000 times today. There's no way I'm clicking on that one. It becomes this fun little game and you get outside of yourself because at the beginning, as you said, you don't want to sign up because you don't want to tempt yourself. But once you're in it, you got to be purposeful and you've got to have the ability to override it. And these brain hacks and attention exercises I describe, I want everybody to know, if you go out there and do it, don't think that you're going to master it. And I think like the Buddhists, the monks, the meditation, stuff like that, if you're with ADHD, I call those attention exercises. You're going to have a hard time with them at first, but if you keep doing them over a long period of time, just like shooting free throws as a basketball player, you develop the skill. You develop the ability to self-regulate, that makes your muscles stronger, and you reclaim your life. Anything to add to that?
No, man. I mean, you just wrapped it up in a really beautiful bow. And the only thing, and I know we're probably the clock is ticking, we're probably running out of time here, but the only thing I'll add to that, because you used the word doing, and this is a really big thing for me too. I feel like so many of us well-intentioned ADDers, we are, you know, we're tuning into Jeff's show. We're, you know, we're listening to the at a webinar. We're going to see someone speak. Or for that matter, we're going to the Chad conference. And I hope everybody listening goes to the Chad conference. You know, we do this with good intentions, but we kind of do it on automatic and on autopilot. And we get the good feeling of gotten this knowledge. And I've listened to this guy speak and it's great. And Alan Brown, that was really interesting stuff, and the stuff Jeff said was great. But if tomorrow you're not doing something different, in other words, unless you switch from your kind of lizard brain that's just listening and enjoying to your executive function brain, your frontal lobe, and tomorrow actually try to do some of the things we're talking about, then, you know, you're still just kind of going through the motions. It would have been just like me still going to going to Harlem for my drugs and not ever having that realization. And I'll just close with this wonderful quote from Bruce Lee, who says, "Knowing is not enough. We must apply. Willing is not enough. We must do." So my friends out there, get out there tonight or tomorrow and do. Take something that you've learned here, write it in your calendar, stick it in your phone note to pop up tomorrow, and go do it.
Touche. Alan, I couldn't think of nobody but you to do the show with, and I stand usually I say incorrected, but not. I know that I'm right on this one. You crushed it. It was perfect. And so I everybody, you need to learn. You need to go check Alan out. Go check out his website at addcrusher.com and check out his TV program, crushertv.com. With that, Alan, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Awesome to be here. Thank you, Jeff.
Take care, everybody. Catch us next week for another great edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.